Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, welcome to Project Zion podcast. I'm here today with Catherine Mambwe from Zambia. Catherine was just recently ordained an apostle in Community of Christ. That was April 9th of 2019 at the Temple in Independence, Missouri. Welcome, Catherine. It's great to have you with us today.
I'm also excited.
Catherine, we would love to hear all about you today. So tell us a little bit about where you grew up, what it was like growing up in Zambia, and also a little bit about your adult life before you knew Community of Christ.
I am Catherine Mambwe, born from the family of nine. I'm the second born child in my family. Both my parents are deceased. I was married. Unfortunately, my husband died 22 years ago. I have two children, a boy and a girl. Both are in the university. One of them will be completing this year. The other one has got 3 years to go. We all live in Lusaka, Zambia. I was trained as a school teacher by profession, and I taught both elementary and secondary school. My subject specifics are mathematics and sciences. So sciences would be chemistry, physics, and biology. I have also done some basics in accounting. Living in a small town called Chingola, I was going to a different faith and not Community of Christ. My husband belonged to the Jehovah's Witness. So we were not very committed Christians at that time.
Catherine, it sounds like you had a lot of things going on in your life, and at some point you encountered Community of Christ. Tell us about that encounter and what brought you to decide to join Community of Christ.
At that time, I was living in a small compound where Community of Christ was, and that was in 1995, 1996, 1997, around that time. So I was living next door to a young girl. We were both young at that time. I had one child, and my friend also had one child. So we lived close to Community of Christ Church. At that time, it was called Restored Church of Jesus Christ. So she's the one who invited me to come and join Community of Christ, because she was going there. And at that time, it was difficult for me to really become a member because of what an experience which I had encountered with somebody who was the pastor at that time at that congregation. Nevertheless, my friend Mercy kept encouraging me to come to church. She kept insisting that the pastor, who was her uncle, was in fact a very good minister of Jesus Christ. She convinced me to join the church, and in 1997, November, I became baptized. That is how I became to encounter Community of Christ. But later on, I was one person who was very shy even to offer a prayer. But people started encouraging me, and I started attending their midweek programs, and then they chose me to be their secretary. At that time, the pastor also invited my late husband to join the church. He was an accountant for a bank called Standard Chartered Bank. So he started doing the books for the congregation. So we did complement each other. He also encouraged me to be going to church. From then on, my husband died. And so I moved into another location. At that location, because I now started engaging myself with Community of Christ, doing the activities, so when I went to the other location, I wanted to find where Community of Christ. Fortunately, there was one which was just emerging. So I went there, and there also I was, the people identified me, and I became their congregation treasurer. So I started supporting them as a self-sustaining congregation financial officer. Meanwhile, I was still working as a teacher at a school which was called Chingola High School. And I was teaching this time grades 10, 11, and 12. I continued to study, so which meant I went back to the university to do some more studies in my teaching career. But upon completion, when I did some more studies, when I just completed, then I heard that there is an opening to work for Outreach International Zambia. I think I was just trying at that time. I was not a person who really wanted to go that way. And so there was a gathering, and then I did the interviews, and I passed the interviews. And when that happened, I had to make a choice whether to continue, because I had upgraded myself. So in the teaching profession, it meant that I would get a better position in my career. But then there was this thing which was coming into my mind to join this Outreach International Zambia, that is working in the community. And so, unfortunately for me, it was at a time when, at a place where I had shifted, the government gave us two. That house was given to two people. And so, surprising enough, one day, the court bailiffs came, and they took out my things. It was a sad situation for me at that time. It was heartbreaking because my children were not there. They went to school. I was alone, and this thing happened to me. They took out everything. The other person who was also claiming that it is their house is the one who called the court bailiff. So I just released myself and then went to another location. That was the moment which I thought that let me just start serving the Lord. And in serving God, I joined Outreach International so that I could support the poor in the communities, because at that time I felt myself so vulnerable because I did not have an advocate or somebody to support me, somebody to stand for me. I just let it go because I didn't have the power. I didn't have anybody to help me. So I thought I could be a person, if I worked in the communities, to help the poor support themselves, to help them be able to stand for themselves, to help them so that they can, I can be like an advocate for them when we went to some government offices to look for their land, to support them with the food security and many other things. And so...
So let's just tell our listeners who don't know what Outreach International is. It's an affiliate of Community of Christ.
Yes.
Can you just say a little bit about what Outreach International does? You've talked about specifically things that you did.
Outreach International is an affiliate to the Community of Christ. And in Zambia, it partnered with the church in the sense that it has people, they call human development facilitators, who go into the communities, they train the people, they help the people help themselves. And so I was one of those people who went into the community where there were poor people, vulnerable people, those people who cannot able to stand for themselves, who cannot be able to speak. So we went there as their advocate to train them and to let them realize that, in fact, where they were, they can do something. They can build their homes. They can feed themselves if only they realize that around them there is a land, they can farm, they can do this, and they can find people to help them. So that's the kind of, in short, what Outreach International does in Zambia, helping the poor people to help themselves.
Thank you. That's exciting. I didn't know that you had worked for Outreach International.
Yeah, I did work from 2004 as a full-time to 2007 when the church now, when I became employed to the church as a full-time mission center financial officer at that time.
So tell us a little bit about how you came to be ordained, because as you're telling your story, I'm thinking somewhere in there you were the treasurer for your congregation, then you went to work for Outreach International and eventually for the church. So when did you become an ordained minister with Community of Christ?
It was in 2004, I became ordained as an elder. And that time, I was working for Outreach International. So I started supporting the congregation in that capacity. So I became the elder, and I was the pastor of that congregation for, I think, 3 years or so.
So you were working full-time for Outreach International. You were raising two children as a single mom. Mm-hmm. You were very engaged in your congregational life, and you're still working for Outreach International when you were pastor of
yes,
the congregation.
Yes, that's what I did, yes.
And the name of that town was?
Chingola.
Okay, you're
Chingola.
In the same town.
It's the same town. And then 2007, that is when I became a mission center financial officer for three countries, that is Zambia, Zimbabwe, and South Africa. I was amazed at this, how the skills I had in accounting and teaching, they helped me, and also working for Outreach International, they because I worked with the poor, I understood what it meant to be poor. I understood how, you know, I can support others through training, because I was a teacher, I could be able to train them. Because I did some accounting, I could be able to support them, how to count, how to bring things together. That kind of skills helped me somehow to be shaped, because I worked in villages. And most of the times I'm just a person who likes to be where the people are, who's able to listen and understand. And later on, I think in 2016, 2012, I was called to the office of bishop that my ordination was in Kenya. Then in 2016, I became the Africa Field Bishop.
So this is a really big deal. Mm-hmm. A bishop in Community of Christ holds the office of high priest, so it's the office of high priest, bishop. I'm thinking you were one of the first, if not the first, female mission center officer in
Africa. I was the first mission center president. I was the first high priest, and I was the first bishop. So it wasn't easy, but kind of challenging, because one day somebody told me, "We don't have men around. How can you be the mission center president because you are a female? We don't have any other men who can be our president." Then I had to convince them that anyone can do the work of a mission center president. It doesn't have to be a male. So long that person has got the skill set and they are able to do the work in that role as they are required, there was no problem. From that standpoint, their views changed. And I didn't serve long as a mission center president, because I think it was 2 or 3 years, then I was called to the office of bishop, which later on I became the mission center financial officer. Then I was in 2016, when there was that big downsizing, that's when I was called to the office of the bishop as the Africa Field financial officer, as well as the bishop.
That's a lot of territory to be responsible for. Mm. Did you travel a lot in that assignment as the bishop of Africa?
I did travel a lot, because it was at a time when, you know, there was that shift. A lot of people had been released from employment. It became extremely difficult to put the mission centers together and to have people who are running the mission centers. So I was part of the group which went around to train the people, to identify new leaders who are now self-sustaining, who could run in those offices as mission center leaders.
Are there other women that are serving now in positions like Mission Center Financial Officer or Mission Center President, either as volunteers or sustained?
We have quite a number now than before when I was, because I remember maybe sometimes I could just find myself in a group of women, in a group of men.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now we have several women who are mission center presidents and mission center financial officers, that it has changed. There is a shift. At least there is that kind of a balance in the leaders of the mission center.
It's exciting to see that unfold. I've known you for several years, and I've observed you when we come for meetings, especially the international meetings where there are many people from Africa here. And I see how you sit with them and listen. And I also see the way they look at you and recognize you as a leader, as their leader, and that sense of trust that I know took years to establish.
Mm-hmm.
But your willingness to be with them and to walk with them. I'm sure in Outreach International, you were engaging with a lot of people that were connected with Community of Christ, as well as some who later became connected with Community of Christ.
Yeah, it's I come from humble beginnings. So I do understand what it really means to be there, to be suffering, to be poor, to be challenged by the superpowers, those who are in positions of authority. I know what it means. So that gives me that grace to be able to understand another person, to be able to listen, to be able to be in their shoes, because I've been there. So I really do understand. And oftentimes, I want to listen. And then when I listen, I can be able to act productively.
So you were many years with Community of Christ and many years in leadership roles in Africa. And then you were asked to a special meeting. So tell us about your experience of receiving your call to apostle.
First of all, it was not something which I was expecting. Or rather, just when I was a young girl with my father, I wanted to be a journalist. That was what I wanted from my heart. But then my father took me to teaching profession. That's where he went, took me to college. And so never did I dream of doing anything to do with being a religious kind of person, anything to do with missionary work. It was not in my mind. I didn't dream about it. And all these times, from the beginning, I didn't know how to offer a prayer. I was thinking, when people tell me, "Oh, you pray," like they are forcing me. And I didn't like to be a pastor. So all these positions in the church which I have had, like an elder, there were things which I was thinking, each time they could call me, I struggled. I said, I don't want this. Even I think to be a mission center president, to be called to the office of high priest, I was struggling. It took me time to say yes. It was always taking me time to say yes. But I knew that deep down, there was something, or God was calling me. Each time there was that. Because I had just finished doing the studies in chemistry, in physics, mathematics, where I had a dream that, oh, I'll be doing this, I'll now do the chemicals. All of a sudden it shifted. It changed me, and then I became somebody else. So even the office of apostle, being called to this office, was not something which I dreamt, or I didn't want to be. Somebody to say, "Oh, you are the apostle, you are the one." Oftentimes, I wanted somebody else to be the one to do difficult tasks. That's what I was always thinking. But when God calls you, you have to say yes. The moment Brother VZ just shared to me when I was in his office, because I did not know when they called me here that it is this office of apostle, that's why, that's the call they are calling me now. I was just thinking that, maybe they just want to know what we are doing in Africa. That's what I was told. No, they just want, I asked but why can I have a meeting with the first presidency? I don't think so. No, they just want to ask you. So when he told me about the call, I almost collapsed in the chair. And then I kept quiet. From that point, I didn't say anything. I just looked. He said, oh, okay, you can go and think. So, but that night, I remember I couldn't sleep. I tossed and turned, The voice was coming to me to say, you are being called. You have to do it. You have to do it. So I sat down, I thought, I prayed again. It was around, I think, 03 a.m. when I took my computer and I just typed and said yes, because I wanted to have peace. So the moment I did that, I slept. I felt the peace. I felt the relief, and that burden was no longer there. So in the morning when I met Brother Steve, he noticed that it was very, very an awkward hour. So I told him that I could not sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the call, I didn't, sometimes I could sense that there was something I was doing which was extraordinary. But sometimes I could just hear it from the other people. And some people were calling me like, oh, Apostle, they could just give that comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no. One time, one of the mission center leaders just wrote, he wrote a letter to me and Bunda and said, Apostles. So I said, no, you're not supposed to call me that. That's not who I am. And then he replied, that's what you do, because whatever you do like as if you are the apostle.
Mm.
Yeah, so it was not something which I was expecting. It was like I became immersed into the bishopric work. Then all of a sudden there was that interruption.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt. But I have been helped a lot. My family, my children, they always, every day, they remember me. Where are you, mommy? Where are you? If I, you know, sometimes humanity, I want to say, I will not do this. Then they tell me, Mom, you are a pastor. You are supposed to do it. Do it. Go for it. It's okay. It's going to be okay. So they've also supported me very greatly. And even now I'm getting that support.
That's lovely. Children can be such a source of strength. Catherine, how is this new chapter unfolding for you? You've talked about it being an interruption. You were totally immersed in being the Bishop of Africa and focused in your work. And I imagine you had kind of a rhythm of how things went. And now this unplanned new chapter of life with God, how do you see it changing your life in some regards as you go forward?
Part of it, I'm building relationships. So my relationships are now different with the people, the way they were viewing me, you know, in the African culture. They now know that I'm their leader, so the way they approach me, the way they talk to me, has become totally different.
Mm.
And so for me, I am trying to build the relationships with them. Trying to understand, even though it is Africa, we are different. The West Africans are not like the East Africans. They are not like the people from Southern Africa. They are not like the people from, East, West, or North. We are so different. And so at this moment, I'm trying to build the relationships. And I also want to learn and know more about the diversity of the church, you know, because I want to bridge. I want to bring that unity, you know. I want to be more focused on uniting the people, giving them and a more understanding on community of Christ. Doing this has made me be open to receive, be open to learn, and I've come to understand some of the things which I did not know. So a lot of things have opened up, especially this past few weeks after conference.
Mm-hmm. So you have been here for several weeks. You came for International Leaders Meeting, mm-hmm. which was a week before conference. Were you here before International Meetings started?
Yes, I was some few days before the International Leaders Gathering. I was here because I wanted to be part of the preparation of our delegates coming in and mm-hmm. welcoming them and, supporting them to see where they are going to stay and things like that, all the details, and also to prepare myself for the training because we had to do orientation
mm-hmm.
all the time. We have the delegates come, we do some orientation. So part of my coming early was to do the orientation and also to do the welcome.
Which meant you were here towards the end of March, but probably a whole last week of March.
Yes.
All of April you've been in the U.S.
Yes.
Today is May 14.
Almost two. It will come to 2 months
by
the time I leave.
And when do you go back?
On the 21st.
Okay, so mm-hmm. next week.
So it's almost, I can just say, 2 months.
2 months.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. So many things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
As you look to the future, Catherine, what are some of your hopes and how do you see God moving in the world in ways that connect with Community of Christ and with God's invitation to us to boldly follow God?
I think I have a lot of hope that God is with us. I know as a church we are going through some, we can say difficult or challenging, it's a challenging time, but with God there is nothing which is impossible. He's a God of impossibilities. He's a God who can make a way where there seem to be no way, you know, and sometimes we can say we cannot do it. But God has already prepared a plan for us ahead because the church will always be the church. The church cannot die. The people can go, but the church will always be there with a few people, and it's going to continue. My hope is that if we continue to be strong together and to be more focused with what we want to achieve. When we do things together, we become stronger. If we do it in a, dividing way, we will lose the path. But for me, the hope is if we work together, we pray together, we do things together, there is nothing which God will always be with us. So I have that hope. And I've seen the hope in a lot of people around here, especially the Council of 12. the commitment which they have together with the First Presidency, the leaders of the church here at International Services, we find that they are very, very committed. My hope is if we are calling ourselves to be a temple, then we are going to make it. Because those ministries which are found here, if we leave them in our homes, in our congregations, we leave them faithfully, we are going to make it.
Amen, sister. I'm with you on that. Catherine, how do you nurture your relationship with God? What are the things that you do in your daily life that help you connect with that holy presence?
Oftentimes, I am met with some challenges. You know, as a single mother, I go through a lot of challenges. But I know that God has put me there for a purpose. And so each day, each morning, each evening, I have a practice of praying for people, praying for my family. And sometimes I get some space of just being grateful to God, because, you know, even though I have the challenges, but very few people have got the opportunity which I experience. And so I am always finding some space to say thank you to God. I reflect on what happened during the day, and I offer a prayer. I pray for my children. Most of the times when I'm providing ministry, I'm not with them, even though they are, you know, in their adult age. I try to pray for them, each one of them. I pray for them. I pray for the church as well. I also pray for the people surrounding me, so that we may live peacefully in harmony together. And most of the times when I do that, I also sing a song. I like the song which says, "You are God. Everything that you have given us comes from you." So when I do that, it's kind of a putting myself to be in the spirit and to connect myself with God. It reminds me a lot. Even when I'm troubled, I want to pray to God and leave everything in God's hands, because I cannot fight. So I just ask God to fight for me. So prayer for me and reading the scriptures. I like reading. Reading and writing is part of... So those are some of the things which make me be a person who is faithful to God. Each time I'm drawn back, each time I have a challenge, prayer comes first to me.
Would you be willing to sing a little bit of that song for us?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Ni muevo ba Yahweh, ni muevo fie, ni muevo ba Yahweh. Ni muevo ba Yahweh, ni muevo fie, ni muevo ba Yahweh, ni muevo ba Yahweh, ni muevo fie, ni muevo ba Yahweh. Capela wa bana, ni muevo fie, ni muevo ba Yahweh. Capela wa mueo, ni muevo fie, ni muevo Yahweh, ni muevo Yahweh, ni muevo fie, ni muevo ba Yahweh.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
God is the giver of life. He gives you children. Whatever we have comes from God. So we should just praise God and be grateful.
Alleluia. So, Catherine, is there anything that you would like to say that I did not ask you about?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Catherine, and sharing your story with us, giving us a window into your life. Thank you for saying yes to this amazing role as apostle and being the first woman apostle in Africa. And thank you to our listeners. Thank you for making time in your day to journey with us as we explore what faith looks like in all the places that we live and love, work and play, and have our being. This is Robin Linkhart, and you are listening to Project Zion Podcast. Go out and make the world a better place.
Amen.
Thanks so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use. And while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.